This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 126 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as usual, Pierre and Malcolm. How you guys doing?
Whoop. Man, I can't even say whoop today, man. I'm mad, upset, and
I am not doing well.
I'm not, okay. Not even wooing, man. I'm mad.
Okay, before we get into the football side, before we get into this football game, I just want to say something real quick about Apple Podcasts and something that I want to thank you guys so much for. You guys have been killing it with the reviews lately, and if you guys haven't left a review yet, it's really appreciated if you guys could leave a review because it helps us out so much. You know, it gets the word out there so more people could listen. So if you guys have the time, as you're listening to this podcast, you guys could keep listening to this podcast and write a review at the same time. Technology, I know, it's dope. So if you guys could do that, that would be super dope. It just really helps so much if you guys could just write a review. If you guys enjoy us, you know, if you guys don't enjoy us, let us know in the reviews. I mean, it hurts, but let us know. But if you could leave 5 stars, always appreciate it, and we always support you guys. So let's get that out of the way. Now let's get into this game versus the Green Bay Packers.
Wait. I want to say something.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, Malcolm, take a guess at what was Rod Marinelli's record through his first 24 games.
If I had to take a guess, I would say...
First 30.
I already know this stat, so I'll let Malcolm guess.
I would say 10. 9-20. Okay. I don't know.
First 34 games. Just say the record, the win and the loss. How many wins do you think he had? Just say how many wins you think he had through his
wins?
First 34 games.
I'll say 10.
You are right. How many wins does Patricia has through his first 34 games?
Oh man, this is bad. He only has 9.
He's got a title.
How many wins does Jim Schwartz have through his 34 games?
Jim Schwartz? I think he's 10 too, right? Yep. He gets 10?
You're right. How many wins does Caldwell have through his first 34?
Haha, 19, baby!
All right, you know your shit. All right, good job. All right.
That man most definitely saw the tweet.
Rod Marinelli was 0-16.
20 in 2008, yeah.
Yeah, he was 0-16. He has a better record through 34 games than Matt Patricia.
Bruh.
Matt Patricia has had Matthew Stafford -8 games. Right? Stafford missed 8 games last year?
Yep.
He's had Matthew Stafford. He's had a franchise quarterback.
Top 10. Top 10 quarterback.
I think he's better than top 10. But
anyways, yeah, I mean, yeah. But yeah.
He's had a franchise. Bro, when you're that bad, like the odds are most likely you don't have a quarterback. He's had a franchise quarterback, okay?
Top 10 quarterback.
And then here's a fun stat from ESPN. With Sunday's loss in Green Bay, the Lions have become the first team in NFL history to lose 4 consecutive games in which they held a double-digit lead.
What was the fun part?
Keep making the records. That's what I'm talking about, man.
Oh, did they keep going in the history books? You said good.
This man said fun. Well, I mean, does ESPN just want to pick on us? This guy said fun.
And then yeah, here's... So here's my little statement. This team lacks discipline. The scheme is awful, bro. The Lions defense is built to stop the run. And I believe yesterday they gave up, what was the exact number? Like 250 rushing yards. That falls on your defensive guru, defensive genius, rocket scientist, whatever the hell you want to call him. All right. And then this is my favorite part of the scheme, right? This team's ideology for the pass rush, if the coverage is good, the pass rush will get there. Meaning they believe in coverage sacks. They believe in, okay, let's give a quarterback like 7-8 seconds. Let's let our corners hold up. And eventually these guys will get there. What the fuck are you thinking? Malcolm, I mean, seriously, like, bro, you got a second-year corner, you got a first-year corner, and you got, like a guy who typically doesn't play nickel, right? You're leaving Aaron Rodgers all day to throw, literally all day to throw. What are they doing here? Not just Aaron Rodgers, Mitch Trubisky. They did it last year. They did it the year before. They've done it since Patricia got here. They've ignored the pass rush. The only pass rush they've signed in free agency that's like worked out is Trey Flowers. They've tried Mike Daniels, but I mean, he's injured. Nick Williams, I mean, $5 million a year, whatever. He's other than that, bro, they haven't really drafted anyone. Second round was A'shaun Robinson. Fourth round was Deshaun Hand. Fourth round. Why? Then they had all offseason to change their defense. They didn't change shit. They hired a new coordinator. I think that's bullshit. I think that coordinator is just doing whatever Patricia wants him to do. Yeah, maybe they added a couple blitzes here or there. But it's the same shit. It's the same shit as last year. And their run defense actually got worse. How? You sign all these big-ass linebackers. Ready? Kristen Jones. He's huge, right? Jelani Tavai. He's huge. You sign Janie Shelton. What else they do? They bring in Jamie Collins. The run defense still blows. This defense is built to stop the run. They can't stop shit. They can't. Yeah. Why?
Stuff.
We suck. I mean, I'm giving you guys the spotlight this episode because you guys are sick of me. I've done this before, and you guys.
What's
don't
going
need
on, bro? Like
it's the same. It's comical at this point. It's just repetitive stuff. I mean, we get new personnel, the same shit. Doesn't matter what happens. I mean, it's just the same personnel. I hate using this reference, but since Patricia's been here, it's made this reference actual relevant and true, and that's SOL. This is the same old lines.
I know. Want to say like one more
but
thing.
But Patricia is making that shit the same old lines from 2018 to now, basically.
How many sacks do the Lions have the past 2 weeks?
Well, we have two. One for Trey Flowers and one for Jamie Collins.
Bro, they're on pace for 16 sacks. That's awful. And the O-lines they played, the right side of the Green Bay line is like weak, right? And
we
the Bears
Ricky
only
Wagner.
Had, huh?
We played Ricky Wagner.
Yeah, he's not good. We released him for a reason.
He's solid in the passing game. I mean, I'll say this. I mean, after rewatching the game, that Packers front offensive line, they played really well. Now, is
the Lions D-line gets no penetration. They blow.
Oh,
I think it's a mix of both.
Because, I mean, I'll say this, man. Like, yeah, you're looking at, you're saying, yeah, we got no pressure. They rush five. They rush six. I watched them rush five, rush six, rush four. And they just, that line held up.
The only thing that, like, makes you concerned about the Lions defensive line, like, if you just didn't know already that it was ass, and, like, you're trying to give credit to the Green Bay offensive line, they had so many maneuvering pieces, even in that game. Like,
yeah,
their center got hurt during that game. Who else got hurt in that game? Did Lucas Patrick? Or I don't know. Someone got hurt during that game, and then their original guy was not starting. I mean, like, they had a bunch of maneuvering pieces just going into the game in general.
I would get it if the Detroit Lions didn't try to put pressure. But
no,
I've seen them send five, I've seen them send six, and that line just held up.
Yeah, they did.
I don't even know how they could have tried to generate more pressure if you're sending blitzes at them and nothing's happening. Yeah. But yeah, I mean to Pierre's statement, I mean, it's tough. I mean, being a Lions fan right now in 2020 is tough because I know for the younger generations, you probably didn't even see much of this. I mean, this is looking like the early 2000 Lions. I mean, this is what it's reminding me of. And the reason why, you know, this is, it sucks really bad right now because we're so close. I just think that we just need that little push and we can be contenders. Because we were, you know, you're looking at what Jim Caldwell had with us. I'm not going to get in that debate right now, but Jim Caldwell, you know, 11-5, 7-9, 9-7. We just need a little push. We just need a little push. And this
Patricia
is.
Patricia was supposed to take that next level. He burned it to the ground.
Instead of giving a little push. He wanted to come in and pretty much do a rebuild without saying that we're doing a rebuild.
Yeah,
he wanted to bring in his scheme. He wanted to bring in his scheme, his people, and do everything different. So at that point, we're not doing a push. We're just hitting a reset button.
Bob Quinn does not get a free pass. I've seen some guys on Twitter, some guys on Instagram saying Bob Quinn gets a free pass. No, he doesn't. He hired Patricia. He's built this defense the way it's built. In last year's draft, Hogginson, okay, first pick, it was good, right? Second pick, Jelani Tavai has not been playing like a second rounder. Will Harris shouldn't even see the damn field, and he's getting more snaps than Tracy Walker.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
And then Austin Bryant hasn't even freaking played. I think he's played like in a game or two. He doesn't even see the field. Bro, that's your Tyler, bro. That's like three of your top four picks from last year. These are guys that you're supposed to be like your building blocks, right? We talk about you built through the draft, you built through that. These guys don't even look like they're like gonna be good NFL players.
At least in Detroit, yeah.
Honestly, bro, you could like Will Harris should be a healthy scratch. They scratched Julian Okwara. Will Harris should have been a healthy scratch. He was awful, and he is awful. He can't tackle. He can't cover, and he's a safety. That's the job of a safety. He's like the Jared Davis, like at linebacker, basically.
That's a really fair comparison.
That is. He's literally
Jared Davis at safety. He has the tools, but just can't. I think they're just overthinking.
It's not even overthinking, bro. He can't tackle.
I mean, well, Jared Davis is.
Can't tackle either.
And Jared Davis, he makes plays. Like, you saw the play where he shot the gap.
One play out of every 10 bad plays.
I mean, because only one play out of 10 plays, he does what he's supposed to do.
Yeah,
He shot the gap and made a beautiful play to stop the run, made a beautiful.
What about that long loss. Run? After the half, he couldn't shed his block.
Well, he's shooting other gaps. Like, again, it falls to, you know, doing your job. And that's what they say all the time, that you got to do your job. If everybody do their job, I mean, you might have some success.
Okay, but, so are you saying the scheme is complicated for these players?
Is it complicated for these players? I wouldn't say that. I'm just saying you have one or two players that's overthinking. Like, for example, if Jared Davis see a guy, the running back going one way, instead of playing his gaps, he'll leave his gap wide open
and try to shoot another way. Day one. It's been Jared Davis since day one. Since he's been here, he's been like that.
I want to say that. Not in 2018. Not in 2018 when we had snacks.
Okay, so you're saying this team is from an elite nose tackle away from being a good team.
Defensively?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to look at a team that's going to be a team that's going to stop the run, yeah, you need this defense needs an elite nose tackle.
You just answered my question then.
This defense to stop the run.
Then this scheme is not a good team.
As far as stopping the pass and all that, it varies. But
why does Bob Quinn get a free pass in this argument? Then
who the hell said Bob Quinn get a free
pass? I'm not saying you, but a lot of people are saying Bob Quinn gets a free pass and Patricia doesn't.
Maybe they like the way he drafted. I personally didn't. I mean, looking at what we did, we could have had DK motherfucking Metcalf. I mean,
I don't care about Metcalf and all that.
Like, I understand you don't, but I do. I mean, shit. Look at what our offense been if we would have just said, okay, we drafted DK Metcalf in the second round.
I mean, what would our offense have been if we have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson over Will Harris? Like, you could do what-ifs all day, right?
Yeah, you could do what-ifs all day.
Like, but, why? I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, this scheme is just like, I think they're clueless, to be honest. I think this staff is clueless. They just don't know how to win, and they don't know how to scheme up a defense. Every week with Patricia, we have to work on fundamentals. We have to work on fundamentals. We have to work on fundamentals. Every damn week, bro. The players even say, oh, it's on us, on the coach. Every week since he's been here, every loss. Out of those 9 wins, they didn't say that. But all those other losses, they say the same shit every loss. You're seeing no improvement at all. These guys are like, the team is young. You're supposed to see some growth, right? The veterans don't even play well. The veterans are lost. You don't have a pass rush. These corners, I don't care who you are. You could have 5 Deion Sanders there. Without a pass rush, you're going to get beat. I don't care who you are.
I mean, I did say that from day one, but...
It's trash. Scheme is trash, and that's why they both need to get fired. Patricia and Bob Quinn need to get the heck out of Detroit. Detroit honestly needs to blow this shit up and start over. And by saying that, probably Stafford wouldn't want to be part of that. And honestly, Stafford deserves success elsewhere. He doesn't deserve Detroit. We've wasted his talent, which is a shame.
Yeah, I made a tweet about that today, actually. It's saying, it's like, so it's a shame, man. You had 11 years to build around a motherfucking franchise quarterback. And maybe not all those 11 years he was a franchise quarterback, but... A good period of time, he was a franchise quarterback in those 11 years.
It's time to tear this shit up and start all over again.
He was a franchise quarterback from 2011.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, not all 11 years, but majority of that 11 years.
I mean, that's damn near 9 years.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying. Majority of that 11-year span, he was a franchise quarterback. And we're speaking about almost a decade right now that they were incompetent of building.
That's not Patricia's fault.
No, I'm saying this is everybody's. This is everyone.
It starts with ownership. They've hired the wrong people.
Okay.
I don't care, bro. This starts with ownership. I mean, they hired Bob Quinn. It looks like, I mean,
they hired everybody. What are you talking about? They hired everybody.
They've been bad since forever. This falls on ownership. I don't care who it is. The Forts right now, all this time, this is on the Forts. Yeah, I've said, okay, let's give them a chance. But they got to do this shit right. They got to rebuild. They got to tear it down. They got to find the right GM. The right head coach. It's enough of this, bro. I'm tired of this shit. It really is. Tear it down and start all over. That's where we are now. We were like a couple weeks ago, we're like, man, we're about to be contenders. Hell yeah. Let's go.
I was never on this that post.
This team is like, they have no chance at all this year. They're done. They're honestly done. You're looking at another top 10 pick.
See, I'm not quite there yet.
But
if it's not top 10, it's probably a top 15 pick. They're not good. Stafford might help you win a couple games. Other than that, bro, like, even Stafford himself, he has to play better.
I mean, Stafford, he hasn't been playing his best football. I mean, it's week two. You're talking about a year with no preseason. This guy hasn't played since week, what, eight? When last time Stafford played? Week eight of last year?
So it was the Raiders.
I mean, did you expect Stafford to come in and fire in all cylinders?
Yeah, he actually did. They said he had a great camp.
He had a great camp playing against his own team, which is a defense who you said is absolutely trash.
True.
I mean, come on. I mean, Stafford needs time. I mean, he'll be fine. Stafford is the least of my worries.
There is no time. There's a lot of time.
There's 14 games. What do you mean there's no time? There's 14 games.
Or this, bro, these games were supposed to be the games you win. You got Cardinals and Saints next. Now, I don't know how the hell they're going to win those. They're going to need miracles to win those two games.
The Packers was a game that they were supposed to win in Lambeau?
No, the Bears was. The Packers was winnable.
I mean, every game Detroit played in is winnable. You have a franchise quarterback. It's not like they're out of every game. I mean, yeah, they played really bad last, you know.
But thing is, right, you're leading 14-3 going into
That was just the first quarter.
The second quarter, they just like fell to their asses. They stopped doing what they were doing. Why? What is Bevel doing? Bevel has been bad this year too.
Bevel's been bad as well. And it's also personnel. And the thing what I think is not working in Detroit, and I don't want to say it, is this multiple man backfield. I don't like it. And the reason why I don't like it is because they go away from the hot hand. Like your first drive last week, you have Kerryon Johnson. And Kerryon Johnson, he had a really good first drive. Really good first drive. That's why we got the touchdown. Guess what he do second drive? Out you go into Adrian Peterson. Like, you're not giving these guys a rhythm. I mean, if you're hot, if you're averaging 4 yards a carry, you need to ride this guy. You can't you can't take out the hot hand and put somebody cold in there. And then once Adrian Peterson, the next drive after that, they're like, okay, you had your drive. Now they bring in Swift. And the Swift is in there. And now, Kerryon Johnson doesn't get another carry until the second quarter.
Yeah, I agree with that. Can I add on something to that?
Go ahead.
You know how I was a big advocate of, you know, having a multiple backfield, right? Of having multiple guys back there. But I agree with that. What I meant by that, when I wanted Detroit to go get multiple backs, you know, for, you know, the backfield, obviously, I meant it, what Malcolm was just alluding to, was having the hot hand for each game. And my prime example all offseason was the San Francisco 49ers, which said a guy like Tevin Coleman could take over a game, a guy like Raheem Mostert could take over a game, when they had Matt Breida at the time who could take over a game. And now you kind of see it right now with the guys that, you know, McKinnon could take over a game, Coleman, when he was healthy, could take over a game, Mostert could take over a game, you know, just whatever. That's what I kind of wanted. That's kind of what I imagined when I was talking about that. I don't think I made that clear.
No, you did. I think you did, bro.
To be honest.
You did.
Yeah. So I want one guy like per game, whoever has the hot hand, like what you're alluding to. I don't like this idea as well as where one drive it's AP, one drive it's Kerryon Johnson, one drive it's DeAndre Swift. And not even just this game. We saw week one.
Yeah.
AP was the hot hand. And then, you know, what do they do? In the fourth quarter, Kerryon Johnson was cold as hell. I mean, he was not getting any pop each run. I mean, the only thing you could make him justifiable being on that field was his pass pro. I mean, that was the only thing you could make a justify. But you had the lead going to that fourth quarter by, what was it, 10 points? I mean, you had a decent amount, or it was bigger. It was a bigger lead. So you had a pretty big lead going to the fourth quarter, and you put your best pass protection running back out there. Like, that just didn't make sense, and you got rid of the complete hot hand in AP. I don't want to speak too much about the Bears game, but same example kind of this week. You know, you took out Kerryon Johnson, who was a hot hand. There's no Kenny Clark, and the Lions are just running up the gut, and Kerryon was getting some nice pop each run. And
Next drive, they go to Adrian Peterson. Yeah. And then, again, this was the first drive in the first quarter. And then Kerryon Johnson doesn't see the field until the second quarter.
Yep.
At that point, he's cold. He's not, I mean, it's like, I feel like the Lions are not, they're not riding the hot hand. That's the problem right now. They just don't know how to ride the hot hand. Like,
yeah, that's true. I agree.
You have TJ Hockenson.
He's beat him every week. Bro, I text you guys this all the time. I literally do. Get Hockenson more involved. I've said it on here. I've tweeted about it.
What is the problem? What is the problem? Like, are they babying him? Like, are they still saying, oh, he's still learning and he needs limited reps? I don't get it.
Well, every time he gets the opportunity.
TJ Hockenson?
Honestly, he's a baller.
Listen to me. TJ Hockenson needs 10-plus targets every game.
You ain't lying right now, bro.
10-plus.
Kenny Galladay, without Kenny Galladay, this offense is lost.
He should be the main target right now without Galladay.
I agree.
10-plus targets. What is he? Is he like, I think he's 9 for 9 for the year?
Yeah, I think so. He's been targeted. So I think he's caught everything that he
caught. He caught everything his way.
Yeah.
But like, seriously, like,
it doesn't make sense. It's not like he's getting double team out there either. It's not like he's like getting double team.
But you could scheme this guy. You could put him out wide. You could put him in the slot. You could, like, why is he not the focus? The focus point is offense. Why Kenny Galladay's not out there? It's like they'll go TJ Hockenson, and then they'll forget he's even on the field. I'll forget that we even have TJ Hockenson quarters 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
Honestly, the offense is like lost without Galladay. And I think that's just like, remember how they said if we had injuries, we could deal with it and stuff? They could deal with a Marvin Jones, but they lose Galladay. They're just lost. Marvin Jones has not played well the past couple weeks. He just hasn't. Danny Amendola has probably been the best offensive player. I think we could all agree the last two weeks.
If we're going receivers, I think the best offensive player has been Frank Ragnow.
Frank Ragnow, for sure. Yeah. I'm talking about like receiver skill guys. Yeah. Yep. Frank Ragnow, for sure, is like, I mean, he's one of the best centers in the league right now.
He's the second best center, I think, in all of football right now, maybe. Yeah, if not the best.
But my favorite offensive player, you already know who it is. My favorite offensive player.
On the Lions or in the NFL?
On the Lions, man. Nope.
Kabinda.
You goddamn right. Jason Kabinda. Yeah. That's my guy.
That guy's been balling too.
That's my guy.
He had a great game yesterday. Kabinda is just like really good. And Decker's run defense has improved this year. I'm actually impressed with that a little. But
yeah, Decker's been good.
Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders, they call us by our names, always giving back, making a difference, and going the extra mile to support us and our community. Right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make sure the choice is to shop at a local business. And look for the contactless symbol to tap and pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be. Official partners of the NFL. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides you powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely results in hire, with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed's going to give you the important hire you need, just like they have over the 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best available offer anywhere. Go right now. Go to Indeed.com/BlueWire.
Term and condition apply. Valid offer through September 30th.
Daryl Bevel, bro, like he hasn't done what he did last year. And yeah, like when Kenny Galladay's in there, the defenses play different. But I mean, you can't just stop. Like, the offense doesn't stop when Kenny isn't out there. You got to produce. And it just hasn't been there. The deep ball hasn't been there. And I also feel like Stafford, the way he's been playing, I feel like he knows that this defense is bad and he knows he has to do well. And that's why he's forcing his mistakes, holding on to the ball too long, throwing a pick six, taking unnecessary sacks. I think Stafford is just kind of like, sort of like, not fed up, but
he knows he has to carry.
He knows he has to carry this team, and like, it's too much pressure on him right now, and it's getting to his head. It's affecting his play. I mean, you see it out there.
Really good. That's actually a really good point, man. I'll agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Too much pressure. Too much pressure on Stafford. He's been like this whole career. I mean, enough is enough. When you have to carry a team.
If I'm him, bro, in the offseason, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, you have to carry a team for 11 years, and you're like, yo, what the fuck, man?
With no running game at all. Until this year. But this year, defense blows.
Yeah, this year, I mean, that's why I'm a little optimistic. But, you know, we'll get into that a little bit later. But, yeah, man, it's tough. It's tough because, again, no defense.
Yeah, I mean, it just frustrates me, too, is that you invest into a running game this year as well, and it's proven that it's worked so far in the first two games, and we've had leads in both these games, different scenarios, but we've had leads in both these games, good leads, too, not like some three-point soft lead. We've had good leads, and we just abandon what's working. Like, I just don't understand it. If they're stopping it, I understand, but... You know how I told you I don't even get excited anymore when I see a mismatch like on defense or something like that or on the offense or something like that? This is why. Who was not out there? Kenny Clark. What do they do in the first drive? They attack that, you know, that A-gap with no Kenny Clark. It worked, right?
Yeah.
What do we do after? They
were running. They were play-actioning. They were getting wide open catches. Yeah. You know, TJ Hockenson was making big plays. You know, carry on. You had my boy Kambinda in there. I mean... They were doing what they're supposed to do.
It's their pregame script. Their pregame script is good, but in game, Bevel's not doing a good job. This year he's not. Also, Stafford is not helping too with his play. But like I said, he's probably like thinking he has to do a lot too. It's just like this team right now, it's a disaster. There's so many things that are just not clicking and not working. I don't even know.
Stafford, I'm looking at Stafford. I could probably, these two games, I'll probably say I've seen three bad plays from Stafford. I mean, it's not like we're saying Stafford's been horrible. You know, he's not been playing well. I mean, he's playing well.
Yeah,
he's playing well. He's making crucial mistakes.
He's making some mistakes.
I mean, he had to play a game since week 8 last year, guys. He's going to make some mistakes. You know, he's holding the ball too long because, like you said, man, and that's a very valid reason, man. Too much pressure on him. He knows he has to make a play. He always has a mindset, I have to make a play.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to make this is Stafford's fault. Because if this is our biggest takeaway that we're saying Stafford is the reason why we're losing.
Absolutely not.
I just want to make that clear right now because people might be thinking that right now. They're like, oh, these people are bashing Stafford. Like,
No, this
is not the reason at all why we're losing games right now.
Matthew Stafford is
far, 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 far from any reason why we're losing these games right now.
We're losing these games because
99 problems and Stafford ain't one.
Yeah, we're losing these games because they're just going away from what's working. And that's my biggest takeaway. From these last two games is that they're just going away from what's working. And yeah, something that works.
The defense can't execute. Their fundamentals blow. They can't tackle. They can't cover. They can't rush the passer.
The defense, they're bad. They're bad. I get it. They're not going to be a top 10. They're not going to be a top 10 defense. They're not going to be a top 15 defense.
They're not going to be a top 20 defense.
And they might not even be a top 20 defense.
They might not even be a top 25 defense. They might not even be a top 30. They might.
I mean, I don't know. But what I'm saying is that they can get you some stops. It's not like saying that, you know, when you're looking at Aaron Rodgers, they force Aaron Rodgers a lot of having him go for it on fourth down. It's not like they're complete ass and that people are just running through them. I mean, they're getting third down stops.
We had that one huge stop where we could have took advantage was when Jamie Collins got that crucial sack. Sack.
I'm saying they're just something there. I'm not saying that it's a complete dumpster fire, but it's if you have a good enough offense, you could carry that defense.
Yeah, like
I don't know about that.
It's not
I mean,
smelly clothes, you know, like the one you didn't wash. It's just like the clothes you've been washed in a week. And
again, if you can create stops on third down, that's all you really need. I don't really care how much yard you're giving up. If you're giving up touchdowns, yeah, but if you can create stops on third down and give your offense a chance, it's winnable. That's all you need. I mean, and the thing is, Aaron Rodgers wasn't perfect on third down. Were they like 3 for 8? They weren't perfect on third down.
Yeah.
So put it together, Lions. That's all you need to do. Like you just need to what's working, go with it until they can stop you.
See,
This is what Green Bay did. Green Bay basically did that to us. They kept running and running and running and running and running and running down our throats, and we couldn't stop shit, and they still kept doing it all game.
I don't know. I just have no faith in it. You see, if we're talking year one, Matt Patricia or any coaching staff right now, I'd be okay right now. I'd justify and say, you know, let's just give this time. This could be fixed, whatever, yada, yada, yada. But this is year three now, man. This is year three, and it's the same mistakes year in and year out, game in, game out. Like, it's not even excusable anymore. It's why, like, I have no hope. I'm not optimistic at all about it. Like, if we could do that. It's a bunch of what ifs. It's always been a bunch of what ifs with Matt Patricia. So it's like, how am I going to keep buying into what could happen when he's not doing shit and it's not changing shit when it's the same shit that happens every week? We get off to a good start and blow it. Like, it just, I get it. You know, maybe you see flashes. Maybe this could work. But like, it just comes to a point where it's year three. We've done this. We've done this week in and week out. It's the same shit every single week. It's not different. It's not like we're like improving week in and week out. We're not. It's the same stuff.
We're getting worse.
You can make that argument. Yeah, I mean, it is. I don't know. That's why I'm not optimistic. I know it's only week two, and usually by week two, you're like, oh, come on, guys, this is a lot of season left, and there is a lot of season left. But
14 games.
Yeah, but. It's just they've shown me nothing for me to buy in. If they're not going to give a shit about changing, why should I give a shit about them? You know, like, it's just, that's just the mentality I have right now. Like, I don't, it's laughable. It's comical at this point, because it's the same shit every single week. Like, they're not changing. Like, I can't.
Yeah. And like what you said, Tyler, they gave up 7.4 like average on the ground to the Packers.
Like, they expect me to give a shit when they're not doing shit. Like, how does that
honestly
work?
Like, when
that's
you're
an EDP
built,
reference, by the way.
when you're built to stop the run and you give up 7.4 yards a carry and 35 carries on 259 yards, like, what are we doing here?
How the hell are they built to stop the run? How the hell are they built to stop the run?
These are their guys. They wanted Trey Flowers on the edge. They wanted Danny Shelton. They want Christian Jones. They want linebackers.
Did they really want Danny Shelton, or did they had to settle for Danny Shelton?
They wanted him. They signed him.
They wanted Snacks Harrison.
No, they didn't. They signed him and then they released him.
I mean, because he didn't play well. But what they wanted is a guy like a Snacks Harrison.
Okay, you could have went out and signed a better nose tackle. You didn't. You signed Danny Shelton.
Maybe they thought he was the better nose tackle. I mean, the thing is, this team is not built to stop the run. They can't. Apparently, they can't play the gaps.
But that's how they're built, though. Their defense is built to stop the run, but they can't stop the run. That's what I'm trying to say. It's Patricia's third year. He can't do it.
I still don't get how they're built to stop the run.
It's because it's the personnel that they have signed the offseason. I mean, they made it immediate that they signed Danny Shelton after this next release. And they signed Trey Flowers, one of the best run defenders in the NFL. And they go out and draft a guy that was not worth the second round pick and is only known for stopping the run. Jelani Tavai. Christian Jones has literally no worth on any NFL team besides stopping the run. They give him an extension. So that's the personnel that they believe they could stop
Christian
the run.
Jones. Christian Jones is their Jack linebacker right now.
But their belief he could stop the run.
That's why he's playing Jack, to set the edge in the running game. He's not there when he's pad rushing the passer.
He's not doing a bad job.
Okay, but I'm
just... He wasn't good last week or this week.
In general, what I'm trying to say is...
All those runs? Look at all those runs. Those are all A-gap.
I get
all
it. A-gap. Okay. Yeah.
Davis, right? I mean, Jared Davis
was 99.9% of those at fault of those plays.
Not all of them. He didn't play.
No, I'm saying like a good 95.
I mean, whatever. I don't know. Whatever.
So why are they replacing him? Why is he their guy every year then? He's been
Why are they love him, right? They love him. He's gonna get better.
Why is he the
here to say shit with him?
I mean, that's Bob Quinn's
here?
Pick.
Like,
I don't, you're asking the wrong person.
Why is he still in Detroit? Why is he here?
Bob, that's Bob Quinn's draft pick. I don't know. Don't ask me. Why don't you write a letter to Bobby Q?
I mean, he's shown he could stop the run before, but like that's what I'm saying. What else is Jared Davis good for?
What is Jelani Tavai done?
I mean, what is Jared Davis good for besides stopping the run? I mean, that was his thing, right?
Jared Davis?
It was never his coverage skills, and I can tell you that for a fact.
No, I mean, making tackles, you know, playing sideline to sideline. I mean,
What has Jelani Tavai done for the Lions?
Jelani Tavai, you're asking. I don't even want this guy to be drafted. He was the guy when we drafted, and I said, huh? Who's that?
Well, there's nothing. I mean, he does, but like, it's not a huge issue in the run game. I mean, that's more in the coverage game. But as far as the run game, man, I mean, I don't know. That is what their defense is. I mean, what else is their defense built for?
They clearly don't care about the pass rush.
I thought the defense is built for coverage, like you guys said.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. I mean, it is. But like, when you don't have a pass rush, like, what are you doing? You bench arguably your second or third best pass rusher on the team. You scratch him. Why?
He's your second best pass rusher.
Yeah, probably second best pass rusher.
Why you scratch your pass rusher? Why?
I mean, I'm just looking forward to when he's getting more snaps. Dude, why? I mean, that's the only thing I'm looking forward to right now. You're asking the wrong person. I don't know. Maybe he can't defend the run. I don't know why.
He can't defend the run.
Julian Okoro wasn't out there. Right now, I don't know that. I don't know why.
You need a pass rusher. Trey Flowers is your only pass rusher. And Deshaun Hand, that's all you got. And not no one else.
They don't give a damn about
pass rusher. Bro, you look at other teams, they got guys coming off the bench that could rush the passer. Detroit has nothing. They have Jamie Collins who could blitz. They have safeties who could blitz and linebackers.
Jamie Collins got his sacks coming off the line, bro. Yeah, he was playing on the line.
He blitzed. Okay, but like I'm saying,
was it a blitz? He was one of the linemen.
He rushed up the middle.
He was one of the linemen.
Yeah, it was at free tech, right? He actually played defense tackle in that
play. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but but then after that, what do you have? What do you have after those three? Collins and Hand and Flowers. What do you have?
I mean, Hand hasn't showed me anything this year.
Well, I mean, Flowers has to play better. You're paying this guy $18 million a year. He can't just have one sack and one pressure a game. He has to play better.
Yeah, they all have to play better, man. I mean, the front, I mean...
But the thing is, bro, it's what defense
it's a joke. I mean, it's bad. I mean,
the double Flowers, right? And you could leave everyone else on one. You're not worried. Detroit doesn't have a pass rush. Yeah, they could blitz, but they don't really have no one. Flowers gets hurt, you're fucked. I mean, you're already fucked. But like,
as if we're good now.
Like, Romeo Okwara, he's a solid rotational piece, right? But who do you have? You have no one. That falls on them. You have Bob Quinn been here for 5 years.
That's Austin Bryant.
And he has not addressed the shit. You know, yeah, I remember during this draft press conference, he said, Austin Bryant, we trust him, we believe him. Dude hasn't even been on the field.
No, he hasn't.
He's not eligible to come back, I think, until week 8 anyways. What are we doing, man?
For real, that's the pup. Is week 8?
Yeah.
Wow.
When you start the year on pup, yeah, because they didn't cut him and stuff. So, wow. Yeah.
That's tough. we might not see another year of Austin Bryant.
And is he even ready? Like, this guy hasn't even played. He's going to be so rusty.
That's tough, man. Yeah, that's tough, man.
I'm laughing through the pain right now.
Yeah, you guys, man. That's tough, man.
It's seriously comical. Like, their mistakes are comical. Honestly, I don't know how ownership still like has him here. I would have fired him last night.
You would have fired him last night?
I honestly would have fired him last night. I would have made Braden Coombs my interim head coach.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair.
I would have fired him last night.
I mean, but the thing is, they're not going to do that. And the reason why is because that would have to come down to Bobby Q. And Bobby Q is not going to fire his boy.
Ownership should, but ownership doesn't have the balls to. They're patient. We've seen it for the last 6 years. They've been patient with everyone. Ownership. They should fire these guys. Why are they still here? What have they proven to you? Ownership. They haven't done shit.
This is why I'm not really. I mean, you're like, all right, we're gonna fire Bob Quinn, and I don't believe this ownership is gonna hire the right people.
And that's
I
fair.
Mean, it's the same shit every single
that's
year.
Fair.
I mean,
they've been like this for 60 that's fair, years. But, I they mean, haven't done shit.
No, that's fair. It's very fair. But we can't just keep living and saying, like, we can't live by that that narrative saying, oh, the line's been rebuilding for 50 years or whatever. Like, I mean, you got to eventually hire the right guy, right? Like, eventually. I mean,
how many tries? It's been 60 years.
Okay, I mean, I've given out the... It's reality. The Fords are never going to sell the team. We have to live with it, right? I mean, it's either you give up on the Lions, because that's all you're going to get. You either have to give up on the Lions, or you got to hope that these people find the right coach or the right regime. I mean, that's all you got, because they're never selling the team. We'll never see in our generation. They're never selling the team. Sheila, if whatever years – this is just stupid, but I'm saying she's going to pass down the team to whatever. It's just stupid to talk about. Whatever. The Fords are never selling. There's too
doesn't
many
look like they will.
There's too many of them. There's too much money involved.
too many of them.
There's too many of them.
No, bro, they got passed down. The father started the team.
And there's idiots like us that still attend the games that they have no reason to sell the team. Like, why would they sell the team?
And, like, you could see, bro, like, when they lost, there were a lot of Patricia supporters who are completely, like, done with him. They're done. A lot of people are done with the staff. Ownership, they got to get rid of these guys, bro.
Fire Patricia was trending on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the fans are clearly done. I mean, how does the players
feel? And I guarantee you some of the players are done, but they don't say it.
Yeah, they need a job. They're playing for their paychecks right now. Yeah.
A lot of guys are probably done with this staff too, but they don't say it.
As a player, I mean, if I was in that locker room, I wouldn't be dwelling, especially if I was a new guy. If I was probably like a vet, like if I've been there since 2018, I'd be like, yo, what the fuck is going on? But if I was new, like those new guys, like the Reggie Ragland and all those guys, I'd be like, yo, it's week two. We didn't have a preseason. You know, are we really treating these games like regular season game or not in, you know, regular season mode yet?
Yeah, did you already said actually today?
What happened?
Did you actually already said today, Reggie Ragland?
No. He said something like that?
He said, we just got a fucking ball. We got
I've heard that.
We got a fucking play ball.
I mean, at the end of the day, man, I mean, dude, there's going to be Russ. Nobody's going to be perfect. I expect missed tackling these first few games. Yeah, you remember, they had no preseason.
But like, so other teams didn't either, though.
It's not just us.
It's not just like the Detroit Lions were the only team that missed preseason this year, OTAs. I know. This is a whole NFL issue.
It's a whole NFL. But there's been a lot of bad football. I think everybody hasn't been clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, but right. Like, but like, teams are winning still or like playing a good enough.
Somebody has to win.
But why can't it be Detroit, us?
Nothing from Detroit, though. The defense still blows. We're expecting, like, they hire a new defensive coordinator, right? But they're running the same defense. There's no change to it. Literally nothing is new. It's the same shit. You can't stop the pass. You can't rush the passer. And quarterbacks have all day to gush your secondary. We make Mitch Trubisky in the fourth quarter look like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, yeah, man. That was because he took advantage. I don't want to talk about saying his injuries as an excuse, but other teams are dealing with injuries too.
I'm not using that
advantage,
excuse.
He took advantage of the opportunity that was given to him. Is what I'm going to say.
So
why can't the Lions take advantage of Clark being out of the game? Every team is dealing with injuries, bro.
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. But I'm just saying. As far as Mitch's case, I'm just saying he took advantage of the opportunity that was given to him.
Good for him. Why couldn't the Lions take advantage of Jalen Johnson being out there? Why couldn't the Lions take advantage of Kenny Clark?
Jalen Johnson is playing really well, and as you seen, he had pass breakups. Yeah, he played well.
He has a pass rush. We don't.
I'm just saying the reason why we couldn't take advantage of it because he played well. He didn't play like a rookie.
I'm just saying, like, there's mismatches every week somehow.
Yeah, I mean,
every game you're always gonna find some mismatch.
We this is what I'm looking at. It's week two. We have, you know, it's bad, but you know we are banged up.
So are other teams though. Look at the Packers without Kenny Clark.
I mean, but is it ideal to play Aaron Rodgers with no secondary? Come on, man.
Well, seriously. You have the number three pick, and you have the pick from last year. And you have Darrell Roberts. Those guys, I mean, you should be confident.
Do you want me to laugh? Do you want me to laugh at that?
You can laugh at that all you want. You're saying no that we have.
I get it.
Trufant was out there, and freaking Trufant.
If we had Trufant and Coleman out there, we would have had a better chance of what we had yesterday.
I'm telling you, we would have still lost the game.
We probably would have still lost the game.
And we probably would have still got killed.
Yeah, it would have been the same story. It doesn't matter who's out there.
Aaron Jones was just killing us by himself.
Yeah, he was killing us in the air. Like, it was a play that he called a nine route. Like, it was a straight goal route. And Roberts was on him, and he caught that. He mossed Roberts.
He mossed a corner.
Exactly. I'm saying, like, if we had our guys out there, Roberts wouldn't have been out there. That would have been on Coleman. And now, would you make the argument that that he would moss Coleman? I'll personally say no.
Regardless, that's one play out of their 42 points.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't stop the run. We have no secondary. Aaron Rodgers was able to do whatever the hell he wanted to do. And
Kyler Murray's going to do the same thing next week.
We'll
talk about that later, man. I wanted to jump too far ahead, but as we could clearly see, you two are totally done. This season is over. You guys are already projecting us to have a top five pick? Top 10 pick?
At least top 15.
Top 15.
Because you have Stafford, you might win a couple please. Games.
Okay. I'm not emotionally out of it yet. I'm still, you know, I've seen bad football. So, I mean, I'm in there till at least by week 10, week 11. If they have like 2-3 wins by like week 10, week 11, then I'll say, you know what, this season might be a wrap, you know? But I'm not going to come out here in week two and say, well, we could get Trevor Lawrence, first overall pick. You talk about first overall pick. To get Trevor Lawrence, you're going to need to go 1-16, buddy. You need one or two wins or go 1-16. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's not going
to
happen.
And then I want to bring up like a couple other things. So like right now, does Pop Quinn have the authority to re-sign Kenny Galladay from ownership? Because they're like losing games and they might not be like, does he have the authority to re-sign Kenny G? That's another question.
That's a good point. I mean,
does Bob Quinn have the authority to sign Kenny Galladay to a long-term deal?
How do you treat this deadline as well? If it's Bob Quinn, I mean, how do you treat this deadline? Because
I know
this is only 0-2 right now, but let's just assume that the Lions are bad by the deadline, by week 8, and they have some selling pieces that they could do with Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, potentially maybe Daron Harmon, whatever.
Potentially Kenny Galladay, too.
So what I'm saying is, how does Bob Quinn address this? Because
if he's here, who's here?
But if he isn't here, who gets that shot? I mean,
are they allowed to make moves?
That's so confusing to me right now. Like, what is going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. Do you just stand pat at that point?
I mean, I'm just
looking from when this last happened, when we had a similar story in 2015 and Martin Mayhew got fired midseason. The Lions just stand pat. They didn't make any moves, and they actually had some maneuvering pieces. If you guys remember, Kelvin Johnson was one of them, you know? So I'm just saying, I mean, they ended up standing pat, but I mean, what did the Lions do with this deadline if, let's say, they're bad? I mean, it's interesting. I don't know if Bob Quinn's going to have that authority like you mentioned. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know.
Whoever is here, like, without Bob Quinn or not, if they don't re-sign Marvin Jones, you could at least get, like, a third or fourth for him. Sanu went for a second last year. Desperate teams do desperate things. Yeah. Like, the Patriots don't have a receiver. They could trade a third for maybe a second.
But who's making that call? Sheila Ford? Like,
someone
Rod in the front Wood? Office. Like, who's making this shot?
It would be, there's three guys in the front office. Jimmy Ray.
We need to fire everybody.
Newmark. I know, but I'm saying, like, if you fire Bob Quinn, like, Newmark, Jimmy Ray, Kyle O'Brien, one of those three guys could be the interim GM, whatever you want to call it.
You let an interim GM make a bold move like that?
Most of the time, it's, like, the player personnel who just, like I don't know exactly how the Lions do it, but, like, the director of pro player personnel helps on that. So, I mean, like, this front office has made trades, not just Bob Quinn. Like, the other guys are part of it. You know what I mean?
I get that, but you're firing most of these guys if you're firing Bob Quinn.
Yeah, but you want to, like...
Who are you leaving? Like, these guys all need to go, like, including the water boys, including the janitors, everybody, the maintenance boys, the helmet guys, everyone needs to go at that point.
I honestly think that's probably going to happen. They're probably going to tear it all up and do it all over again. But, like, I mean, say, like, you're, like, one and whatever. You win two games or one games at the deadline. You should be sellers, regardless whoever's there.
I agree, but in 2015, you can make the same argument for Kelvin Johnson. They didn't sell him. They kept him on the team. He retired after. That was a valuable trade piece as well. I know I'm looking just back in time right now.
I don't think that you trade Kelvin Johnson. I think that's like that's different with him. He's an animal. He's different. But that's Mahler and Oopsie. All right. Mahler of the week is Jack Fox. He's just been killing it.
He deserves it, but that was the most unenthusiastic right now.
Yeah, so shout out to Jack Fox. We had him on the podcast, and plus number 3 is like one of my favorite numbers, and he's rocking number 3. Whatever though, he's just a baller.
Terrible. That's terrible, man.
I think he's leading the whole NFL in net punting.
He's actually killing it. He's like the only bright spot on the Lions team right now. No cap, like in general. No, Frank Ragnow too.
Has no man, there's Frank Ragnow, there's Jason Kabinda. There's a lot of bright
but like spots in general team. Though he's that. Jack Fox is the MVP of the
he's
team.
The baller. We have certain runners that have bright spots, but they just don't get the ball no more.
I'm just saying Jack Fox is like the most consistent and like the most. He's just the best player on the team right now. He is.
That's bad. That's not good.
I think he deserves the ball.
Like,
the week,
if you want to argue that with me, I could argue that with you. I don't feel like arguing that because
no. This is your ball of the week, man.
I'm just saying that, of the week, and he's also the baller of the last 2 weeks. He's just been the best player on the field the past 2 weeks. That's all I'm saying. You don't believe me? Go turn on the tape.
He's been good. I think he deserves the ball of the week this week. 100%. I agree with that.
All right, Tyler. Who's your oopsie doopsie?
Play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
Hey, Mr. Krabs, how you doing?
this might be a tough choice for you, Tyler.
Yeah, who do I go with, man? There's so many options. Like, I hate to throw a nine, but nine's part of this contention right now. The coaching staff is part of this contention right now. Will Harris is part of this contention right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jerry Davis is part of this contention right now. Like, who do I go with?
Honestly, the entire defense as a unit.
Yeah, I'll do that. But the main guy who's leading the ship is Will Harris. Will Harris is leading the way on this. Will Harris, he was god-awful, man. Not even with his play. The two fucking personal fouls piss me off, man. Those are just draining and get all the juice out and ruin all momentum. So,
yeah.
Will Harris, man. And Matt Patricia playing Will Harris more than Tracy Walker. That's the co-candidate leading the ship. He's the guy on the airplane sitting next to Will Harris leading the plane. That's Matt Patricia. If I'm not going to even say the joke. That's mean, but... but Will Harris and Matt Patricia are leading the plane right now. That is my oopsie of the week. And then the whole line's defense is on the plane as well. So, like, they're first class right now. They're sitting.
Okay.
Jack Fox does not belong on that plane. Jack Fox is on the team bus instead.
Jack Fox is on the private jet.
Yeah, I think Jack Fox is on the private. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. He's on the private jet.
I like it.
So, yeah.
But everyone else, man. Yeah. Actually, fuck it. They don't get first class. They're sitting on Spirit Airlines.
Oh, shit.
All right, let's do a couple voicemails of let's just hear what you guys just heard us, so let's hear you guys. I think Malcolm said he got a little preview. He didn't listen to them, but he was reading them a little bit, I believe, some rants.
Because some came in the mail today. These nuts. Got him! Got him!
So there was a lot of people there. They were very unhappy. So let's just go into the first voicemail. All
right, let's do it.
Voicemail.
Well, it's just tough, man. I try to look forward to Sundays. I'm at home, all alone, not on college, not on campus in college. And, you know, I look forward to Sundays to watch a nice game of football, but I can't because the defense puts no pressure on the quarterback, leaving your number 3 overall pick to just be not in a position to succeed, much like no other organization that would do that. And it's just tough. It's just hard to watch. It's just hard to watch. But I do it every week, hoping something will change, sadly. I just wonder what Jeff Okuda would have turned out to be with the Patriots or the Ravens or the 49ers. It's just, it's tough. It's tough.
That was so relatable.
Yeah, I mean, that just sounds like a normal Lions fan Sunday, pretty much.
At 4 o'clock.
Yeah, at 4 o'clock. That sounds like a normal Lions Sunday. And yeah. I mean, better scheme, better pass rush, you'd probably have more success. And I actually said this a while ago. I said that between C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okuda, I said C.J. Henderson could have a better career than Jeff Okuda. And it all depends on where he goes. I told you guys this. And this is why, you know. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see the future. Let's go to the next voicemail.
What's up, guys? This is a Lions fan coming from New Hampshire. Back when I was like 5 years old, I made a decision to support the Lions because I really like the Lion King instead of the New England Patriots. I've been regretting that decision ever since. I don't know. I feel like we're in a really tough position now. It's like, yeah, I want a new head coach, a new general manager, a new scheme, everything. But the issue is I don't want to force another season and just wait a whole other offseason to change it all again. I don't know. It's a shitty position, especially since the whole reason we brought Patricia in was to bring in like change. Like we're supposed to expect to be a major contender. And all we've done is go back and look at the stats for the first 34 games of the head coach, Jim Caldwell, went 19-15, right? And Patricia now 9-24-1. Are you kidding me? Like, what are we doing? And his cockiness is just ridiculous. He knows that anytime he goes on the stand, he won't even admit it. He'll say, well, I actually made one of the best head coaches, best calls in head coach history, which doesn't make any sense. I don't know. It's just frustrating.
Very frustrating. You guys have any comments on that one, man?
This is just like repeating what we were saying, like this episode and last episode. Like, these guys just understand it, man. Like, it just hurts.
It does hurt. This call might be a little bit more funnier. This guy seems mad.
Yeah,
I'm just reading it because you know you can read like the voicemail before you can play it.
Yeah, yeah.
And wow, I just see a lot of stars here. Well, let's just play this bad boy.
Doesn't it feel better? It feels. I'm not gonna lie. This feels a little better, like relating to people, like knowing people are going through the same thing. Like you know, you see it, but like hearing like, this is nice. Yeah. It's like the group circle.
Yeah. All right, voicemail.
Hello, Lion Sand from Wyoming. I am fucking over this shit. I didn't want Schwartz fired. I didn't want fucking Caldwell fired. And this is the first time since Marinelli or Mariucci that I've wanted a coach fired. Well, Morning White as well. But fuck this regime. Fuck this staff. Fuck this smartest guy in the room bullshit. I am over it. I am over it. They wasted Stafford. They have wasted Stafford. He's 31 years old. He's still got another good 4 or 5 years in him. And I hope to God that he plays for a winning organization somewhere else. And, like, the sell the team shit, I mean, I never really got it until now, and I kind of do. They have an extended Golladay. They're not spending money. We have, like, so much cap room, and, you know, I understand with COVID and next year being, you know, less cap, but I'm let's try to win. That's all I want. I just want to win. God damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Another very relatable. I think we need to do something. Like, we should just have a counseling podcast one episode. I kind of like that idea. Like, get a big Zoom call or something like that. And just have a bunch of Lions fans all, like, at once express their opinions of the organization. And I honestly feel like that could be a banging podcast right there.
Yeah, well, that could be like a disaster. That could be good. It's like.
It's just a nice, like, group session where we all relate. I like that. We might need to set that up. Even if it's not a podcast, we might just need to set it up.
I mean, to be fair, though, he did say he didn't want Schwartz fired and Caldwell fired. I did, because those guys took the team as far as they could, both of them.
I'm not trying to have the debate right now, but yeah.
I'm just going to say that real fast. Like, I don't want to say I agree with the entire of his call, but I feel his pain.
Yeah.
Same with the cap space stuff. I mean, who are you going to sign? And who wants to even come here?
He's talking about Kenny Golladay. I guess he was talking about
30 million. Like, he was talking about, like, why didn't we get, like, Clowney or something like that? Like, he's not going to sign here. A safety or, like, good players don't want to come here right now. Like, there are some good free agents out there. They don't want to come here. They want to go to a contender.
All right.
Golladay thing makes sense, but we talked about that earlier. Do they even have the authority to re-sign him? We don't know that.
All right, let's just do the next call, man. Yeah,
we're down to our very last call, and again, guys, I want to thank everybody that participated and actually called in and left these voicemails. I mean, it makes our day. You know, we want to hear you guys. It's good to have you guys on the air. So let's go to the very last call. Voicemail.
Yo, guys, love the show. Keep doing what you're doing.
First off,
that game was ridiculous. I'm not for anyone losing their jobs, but, I mean, come on. Patricia, his time is up. I'm at this point, if they don't fire him this week, and if they lose against Arizona, they have to let him go. 9-24 in 3 years, and they specifically said each year that 9-7 with Caldwell was unacceptable. He has done nothing with this team. The talent that we have, or whatever, and the defense, for a defensive-minded guy, is terrible. And I have to mention one thing to all these guys that keep posting about the Fours need to sell the team. One, ain't going to happen. Two, if it did happen, who are they going to sell it to? Who's not going to try and move the team out of Detroit? And nobody wants the Lions to move out of Detroit. So quit saying sell the team or whatever. What the Fords need to do is do some serious hard looking for an attitude change around there, because I'm sorry, I'm tired of year in and year out picking in the top 3, 5, or 10 of the draft. But this is just ridiculous. The coaching is not there. Patricia's not it. We just need to move on from him. Hopefully we can salvage the rest of the season with Bevel or whoever, but the Patricia experiment is over, and it may be Quinn's time to go too. But that's my thought. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. One pride.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. We appreciate your support, and I feel your pain. We talked about the ownership earlier in the podcast, so
yeah, something I've mentioned is just it's never gonna happen. So you just gotta hope that you gotta put your trust.
That they're gonna make the right hire.
That's all it is. You just gotta put your. I mean,
we're fucked.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you either just get away from this team now, like just forget about the NFL, go to the Cider Mill on Sundays, or. We got to put our trust into the Fords. I know it's sketchy, but that's all we got right now.
I honestly don't think that if a new owner comes in, I don't think they'll move from Detroit.
I mean, you could put in like the contract that like if the Fords sell, keep the team in Detroit or something like that.
But I mean, like, the market is juicy. Why would you move the team?
Detroit's a good spot, man. Like it's proven even with all like the losing and like all the losing.
Fans are loyal.
And all the losing that.
They sell.
We show up. I mean, we show up to games, like including us. I mean, not just us, the whole fucking fan base. They show up, man. They're loyal.
Yeah. We have probably one of the most loyal fans. This team has put the fans through so much, and fans still show up. Like, Ford Field will be sold out in a game where it's not supposed to be sold out. Like dead ass.
Like, how many other cities could say that they sell, like, if this was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, before they got Tom Brady, I mean, obviously there's no fans this year, but, like, They never put good fans
look
out there.
Look at the football team.
Last
year,
2002, they did.
And they have had good products. You know, they've had good products in the past. And you know, like people just don't care at some point. But in Detroit, there's always someone. I mean, we always got a nice fan base at every game. It doesn't matter how meaningful or how meaningless the game is.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, guys, that is a wrap to this episode of the Pride Podcast of us. Kind of breaking down the Packers game, breaking down our frustration, another therapy session type episode. And as we always say, on to next week as we play the Arizona Cardinals. As Malcolm would say, lesson took an L, but what do we do?
Now we bounce back. Hey.
Now it's time to bounce back.
Hey.
So, I don't know about that. We'll talk about that later in the week.
Yes. We got the Arizona Cardinals week 3. So
we're gonna have a victory. We're gonna have a victory party after we beat them Cardinals.
All right.
let's get a nice little victory Monday.
Victory
let's,
Monday,
let's
man.
We're down there a little, guys. Let's
have a victory Monday in a while. I actually have a video that I'm gonna post for a video for Victory Monday. I can't wait. I'm just waiting for it just to release it.
All right, guys, I'm out. Peace.
All right, everybody, make sure you hit up iTunes, hit up Apple Pod. Make sure you rate, subscribe, and review, and leave those reviews. Again, it's your boy Malcolm. Go Lions. Don't give up. There's still 14 games left.
Peace.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be in a game this year, but you can still be in all the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going an extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to teams, players, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in their season opening bonuses today and start wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.